The same thing happens every year, twice a year, during the two penitential seasons of the Church, Advent and Lent. In a time that we're to be engaged in prayer, in penance, in charity, and self-denial, the Church offers us these days, Gaudete Sunday in Advent, Laetare Sunday in Lent, as a time to remind us that in the midst of our sufferings, there's still going to be found some joy. Joy is different from pleasure, in that pleasure is something sensual, something physical, but joy is something spiritual that comes from God. While many people try to find their happiness in things of this world, we realize that true joy, true contentment, can only come from God. Last week's readings got me to thinking about something that happened several years ago in another parish. The same first reading from the book of Exodus concerning the Ten Commandments was read, and in the homily, then, just as last week, I explained the commandments and how we should strive to live them. What I did not know was that one of my parishioners invited a friend of hers who had been away from the church for quite some time to come to Mass with her, and so the friend did. After Mass, that friend was hopping mad, and I mean really upset, because as her friend would tell me, she said to her, "How dare that man condemn me in front of all those people?" Well, apparently in the homily I touched a nerve, or several nerves, and she was not happy about it. Despite the fact that I didn't know that she was there, let alone even know who she was. She told her friend, "I'm never coming back to this church again as long as that man's there. In fact, I've got a good mind to start going to the Baptist church instead." To which her friend replied, "Well, do whatever you want, but I'm pretty sure that the Ten Commandments are the same over there as they are over here." And of course they are. And that's just it. Truth is truth, and truth doesn't change just because we want it to and just because we try to run away from it. And yes, oftentimes the truth can indeed hurt, and hurt badly, when it confronts the lies that we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. And we always do that. We always try to justify our perpetuating sinful ways, even though we know that those sinful ways deep down inside are no good at all. And we see this happening oftentimes in modern America. When we can't take the truth, what do? We try to erase it. We try to change it. We try to cover it. We try to twist it around. We do everything possible not to acknowledge reality. But truth always, always has a way of emerging from the darkness of falsehood and exposing lies. It always does. And this is why any preacher of the gospel who is worth his salt knows full well that even though he's been given a charge to preach the gospel, always keeps in mind that he himself is an imperfect man in need of God's grace and mercy, just as much as, and maybe even more so than anyone else. But still, he has been called by God to preach the truth that is Jesus Christ, in its absolute, in his absolute fullness. And any preacher who doesn't do so does a grave and a harmful disservice to the body of Christ if he does not preach the gospel as Christ intends. As St. Paul said to us in the second reading from Ephesians, it's by grace that we have been saved, by the mercy and the love of God, that Christ has raised us up and seated us to a new level, up in the heavens with himself, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness to us. And this is the whole point, that even in the midst of our depravity and our suffering, the mercy of God is there, the love of God is there, never to go away. Yet, too many, far too many, priests and bishops cower in fear. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They don't want to become branded, oh my God, even lose collections. So they either ignore certain church teachings or they just plain tell people what they want to hear just to make them feel better about themselves and feel good. And sadly, this is true not just of many priests and bishops, but also of parents who have the obligation of teaching their children right from wrong and indulge their children far too often. The same thing happens with educators, where we see this in schools where children are allowed to just kind of do whatever they want and teachers' hands are tied as far as punishing is concerned. We see this even in government, where lawmakers make laws not based on truth, but just on people's feelings because they want to get reelected. In reality, all Christians, every last one of us, is called by Christ himself to preach, to live, and to codify the truth, his truth, always and everywhere, not just for our own good, but for the good of society, and ultimately for our and society's salvation. The reality is, people in this world are in bondage. They're in bondage to their delusions, and their delusions are killing them spiritually and will eventually kill all of us in spirit. The deepest desire of the human heart is to be truly free, to be truly happy, and to experience true joy. Freedom, happiness, joy, these are spiritual realities that physical or sensual or worldly pleasure cannot bring about. It never does. No amount of food, no amount of sex, no amount of money, power, anything at all, drugs, technology, none of this can ever bring to the human soul what faith and love and mercy and grace can bring, can truly bring. To know, to love, to obey, and to serve Christ, that brings joy, even if it means that we have to give up some things that we find pleasurable. But knowing, loving, serving Christ, this brings joy. And paradoxically, even if a believer is racked with pain and suffering of any kind, nothing can shake the true believer's faith and hope that brings that joy from within. Physical pain without, but joy within, there's nothing more eminently Christian than that. But all this comes from loving and being loved, and knowing that we're loved by Christ. Nothing can change that. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But when people refuse to believe, when they'd rather wallow in sin and degradation, they condemn themselves. And because they know that this is wrong, but they refuse to accept and acknowledge the wrongness of their actions, they try to force others, by whatever means necessary, to go along with them, to believe that evil is good, that wrong is right, that man is God. But it's not. Evil is not good, wrong is not right, and we are not God. As Jesus said, the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But conversely, whoever lives the truth and whoever loves the truth comes to the light, so that his works might be clearly seen as done in God. Brothers and sisters, all of us, every one of us, has been damaged by sin, by the original sin that we were born with, that comes down from our first parents, Adam and Eve, and also from our own personal sins that we commit throughout our lives. Be honest. Be honest with yourselves, and be honest with God. It might be a bold task to do, but during this Lenten season, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how and when you have been disobedient, how you've been rebellious, how you've run from the truth and have lied to yourself. But then come before the Lord. Come before the Lord, sinful but sorrowful and repentant, knowing full well that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, even as St. Paul says, even though we were dead in our transgressions, the love of God is still there, and he wants to bring us to life in Christ. Ask him to give you his grace and to give you his peace, to raise you up with Christ, to bring you redemption, to bring you salvation. Stop living in lies and lurking in the darkness. You're God's handiwork. You are God's handiwork, created and then recreated in Christ Jesus for the good works that God prepared for you in advance. So think about that. Before we were even born, as God willed us into existence, he planned for us to be good and to do good, to be holy and to do holy things. He never intended us for us to be sinners and to be condemned. Instead, he wants us to have life and have it in its fullness. Think about that. This is God's plan for you in advance. All he's asking is that we cooperate with that plan. So never forget who you are. Never forget the great destiny for which you've been created, to believe and to live in Christ here and to share eternal life with him in the new and eternal Jerusalem, to forever share in the immeasurable riches of his grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. This truth, brothers and sisters, this truth is the source of all of our joy.